Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody to today's City Council meeting. It's a pleasure being able to introduce Bishop Bernard LaMarche of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Bishop LaMarche presides over a congregation of 340 members here in the Dallas region. He is married with six children, and it's a pleasure to be able to welcome. Bishop, please rise for the invocation.
Our Father, as we gather today at this day, we take a moment to bow our heads, give Thee reverence, and also pause for a minute to consider the decisions we make this day. Father, we ask a special blessing on the leaders in this room. We are grateful for our good mayor. We're grateful for his leadership. We ask Thee to bless him, bless those that lead with him. We ask as we pray and humbly think of those that are less fortunate and those that we care for, and those families that are out there seeking for our leadership and direction. And at this time, we ask this blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Could you lead us in pledge?
To the United States of America, and to the Republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Secretary.
Thank you. We're going to go ahead and begin with your morning speakers because there is no quorum of the City Council present at the moment. Council will be unable to make any comments until a quorum is present. We're going to begin.
We have a quorum.
We have a quorum now. Thank you. The time is 9:11. Your first speaker will be William Hopkins, followed by R.W. Traylor. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant at Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. When your time is up, please stop speaking and allow the next individual their turn. Again, your first speaker is William Hopkins. Please state your name and address for the record.
Yeah, my name is William Hopkins. Mr. Leppard, I'm down here to talk about the RSR lead plant. I got the KKK and the FBI. That's what I signed up for. I've been coming down here 15 years.
Can I wait till the secretary and the lady get through talking? I see everybody busy.
Dwayne.
Please go ahead. Continue on. You can direct
I'm trying, no, I'm
you
trying
can
to address everybody over there talking.
Me.
Man, damn, man. I'm trying to address everybody. I can't even hear myself talking. Man, all them talking. You can't say nothing to them. They ain't got all the...
Dwayne, no. Sir, let... No. Sir, let me be very clear. You have an opportunity. Excuse me. So if you want to continue this, then you can just speak some other time. You can direct your comments at me. I'm listening. And make them. That's it. Your time is talking. Continue to make your comments. This is your last opportunity. Would you like to speak? Your time is continuing.
Children is dying. We can't learn. They're not learning at Edison, Sequoia, none of them schools over there. All the schools were dug up by the EPA for lead, arsenic, and everything. I'm down here screaming and hollering trying to get some help for the children and the elderly people and everybody that's dying from cancer in West Dallas. I'm trying to get some help. I've been trying this for 15 years. Dwayne had a meeting. And he said he was going to have a meeting with the people about the lead. Tom Perkins, in that meeting, it's alleged that he told the people that he was our attorney and he was the city attorney. I don't know how this happening. I don't know how this going on. But if this was blacks, if this were he or them, the FBI would be down here, Tom. If this were Hill and the rest of the blacks, the FBI were down here be investigating. But since it's white people and the FBI ain't down here, no media, you can't get the media, this Ku Klux Klan media, to say nothing about all these people dying. I don't know how this happening in Dallas. All these blacks dying, and we see how y'all care about the blacks here in the city. Y'all city workers make less than I'm trying to get some help for the
it's
black.
Mayor or Mr. Leopard, either one would be fine.
I don't care nothing about that, man. You can turn the mic off, whatever. You white, you treat the blacks like a dog. You treat the city workers like a dog. The sanitation workers, you treat them like a dog. So I don't care what you do, but I'm still trying to get some help for the black, Mr. Atkins, that's dying in West Dallas from the lead, man. Some people dying, man.
We appreciate you being with us. Thank you, Madam Secretary.
Thank you. Your next speaker, R.W. Traylor. R.W. Traylor. Not present, Mr. Mayor. That concludes your speaker this morning.
Thank you very much. We'll move to the agenda then. The first item on the agenda is the minutes. Those are the minutes of the October 13th meeting. If I could have a motion on those. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. On the consent agenda, there are several items that have been requested to be considered individually. Let me go through those with you. On the regular agenda, item number 4, I've requested that be deferred for 2 weeks. Item number 11, Ms. Koop has requested that that be considered individually. Item number 21, Ms. Davis. Item number 36, Mr. Atkins. And that completes it. There were no individuals for individual consideration over on the addendum. So the individual items for consideration then will be 11, 21, and 36, noting that 33 and 40 have been deleted on the addendum. Number 4 is deferred.
You want deferred?
Yes. If I could have a motion on the consent on both the regular and on the addendum, Mr. Carroway?
So moved.
Second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. Now, Secretary, if you could go to item number... For 2 weeks, yeah.
Okay.
The equivalent of 2 weeks. I think it's actually days. But, yeah.
Thank you. We begin with item number 11. Authorize the purchase of 24 electric-powered vehicles for water utilities. Can C, DBA, EV, autos, lowest responsible bidder of 3. Councilmember Koop pulled the item.
Ms. Koop, please.
Yeah, I just want to point out, Mayor, the purchase of these all-electric vehicles. And also, just to give a kudos to TXU, it wasn't mentioned here in the background information, but they are putting in some free electric stations for us, plug-in stations.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's a great move on the city's part to go towards electric vehicles and beta test those vehicles. But I also think that TXU needs a shout-out that, you know, it's really a great thing that they put in some electric charging stations for us. So we appreciate that.
Terrific. And Ms. Koop, I appreciate you raising that. We visit with them. They are doing that. They're doing it here and in Fort Worth. So they've been terrific supporters of that. And hopefully this will encourage not only what we're doing here, but with the coming out of new models. I know there's a couple of new models that are coming out for electric cars. And hopefully on an incremental basis, that will encourage the use of those too and the purchase of them. So I appreciate you bringing that out. That's a good point.
So I move the approval of the
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, item number 21, please. 21.
Item number 21 is authorized contracts with cultural organizations for the provision of services to the city through the Cultural Services Contract Program. Councilmember Davis pulled the item.
Ms. Davis, can I turn to you, please? Item 21.
Yes, I'm going to let Dahlia talk on 21.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to transfer it to Dahlia.
Sure, please.
Thank you.
Ms. Hoswell, please.
Thank you, Councilwoman Davis. I'm going to move to approve this item, but I want to make sure that we understand that the money that the tax rate was put back into this was $2.5 million. That is still very short of what our cultural arts organizations in the city of Dallas still need. So I would today like to ask the city manager to help us continue to find cultural arts grants so that more of our cultural arts programs can survive and survive in a good way. So I move to approve.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, 36, please. 36.
Item number 36 is authorize the quitclaim of 35 properties acquired by the taxing authorities from the sheriff's sale to the highest bidder.
Mr. Atkins, please.
I request that item 36 be moved on the consent agenda to items for individual consideration. I move that item 36 be approved with exception of property located at 9338 Elm, and further move that the bid for 9338 Elm be rejected and the property be re-advertised for sale at the future date.
Okay, let me make sure. We're already off of the consent agenda, so the first part of the motion is moved.
Well, I guess...
The second one is just the one property at 938?
Just one property about to be part of the consent agenda.
Okay.
And that's property at 9338 Elm.
Okay, so if I understand of all the properties that are there, your motion will be to approve all of those with the exception of 938 Elm, and that one will be put back out to bid. Is that what you're proposing?
That's correct.
Okay. You want to give a little bit of background on 938 Elm?
Well, a little background. Teresa Donald's not here today, and she had the background information. She wrote this motion. She has a concern with this one piece of property to be rebid.
Okay, so it's coming out of staff then?
Coming out of staff.
Okay. That's a motion, if I can have a second. Ms. Legolin, thank you very much. All those in favor then signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. So 938 Elm will go back out to bid. Madam Secretary, item 44, please.
Item number 44 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. For your consideration, you have Robert A. Schreck, nominated to the Housing Finance Corporation Board by Council Member Allen.
Do you have a motion on that, please?
So moved.
Moved second. And seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, would you read 45 and 46 to the record, please?
Thank you. Item 45 and 46 must be considered collectively. Item number 45 is authorized number 1, a development agreement with Richie Dallas Investments, LLC, and number 2, the Downtown Connection TIF District Board of Directors to dedicate an amount not to exceed $12,870,200 from future Downtown Connection TIF District revenues in the form of a TIF economic development grant in accordance with a development agreement. Item number 46 is a resolution declaring the intent of Tax Increment Financing District for Investment Zone number 11 to reimburse Richie Dallas Investments, LLC up to $12,870,200 for TIF-eligible project costs pursuant to the development agreement.
Moved and seconded. And 2 seconds for where Mr. Nikinski and Mr. Atkins. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, 47, please.
Item number 47 is authorized acquisition of 2 vacant parcels located at 5414 Bear Street and 2475 Anderson Street for the proposed Bear Street redevelopment project.
That was 47. If I can have a motion on that.
Item number 47.
Move to approve.
It's been moved and seconded. The seconds were by Ms. Hansel and Mr. Atkins. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, 48, please.
Item number 48 is authorize the reconstruction on site of 10 homes in accordance with the Reconstruction Share Program statement requirement for the properties located at 725 Center Street, 3124 West Street, 1218 Woodview Lane, 2708 Hickman Street, 2210 Martha Avenue, 4749 Burma Road, 506 Raynell Avenue, 2455 Olga Avenue, 1802 Somerset Avenue, and 4719 Nome Street.
Second by Mr. Atkins and Ms. Davis. Ms. Davis made the motion. Mr. Atkins made a second. I need another second. Ms. Hockwell, thank you very much. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, 49, through, please.
Item number 49 is authorized an amendment to resolution number 10-1239, previously approved on May 12, 2010, to increase the loan amount of $1,300,000 on an existing Chapter 380 Economic Development Forgivable Loan with Sapphire Road Development, LLC, for property located along the Lancaster Corridor Neighborhood Investment Program area for the purpose of constructing residential, retail, commercial, or mixed-use redevelopment as part of the economic development plan for the area.
So moved.
Mr. Atkins, thank you. Ms. Davis and Ms. Medrano. No discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, agenda item number 10, please.
Addendum item number 10 is an ordinance amending ordinance numbers 27932 and 27933 as amended by ordinance number 27962 and ordinance number 27961 to change certain election day polling and early voting locations for the November 2nd, 2010 local option and park special election.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed to ordinance Secretary 11 on the agenda?
Item number 11, addendum number 11 is a resolution authorizing an amendment to the appointment of citizens to service election judges for the City of Dallas in Collin County for the November 2nd, 2010 joint election.
Second.
That's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed to order? Madam Secretary, 12.
Addendum item number 12 is a resolution authorizing an amendment to the appointment of citizens to serve as election judges for the City of Dallas in Dallas County for the November 2nd, 2010 joint election.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed to ordinance Secretary 13?
Addendum item number 13 is a resolution designating an absence by Mayor Tom Leppert as being for official city business.
So moved.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed to order? There will be no executive session today. We're in recess until 1 o'clock. Thank you very much.
Recess at 9:26.
Good morning. Let's call our session back into order. There are three items that were on the consent agenda for our afternoon agenda, 50, 51, and 52. 51 has been requested to be deferred, so let me deal with that separately. Okay. So can we take that then as part of the consent agenda? 50, 51, and 52 are consent.
There are three items on the consent.
50, 51,
so 51, if there is no request to defer.
Well, why don't we do this? Let's read in 50 and 52. If you would, read those two in. Then we'll just go through the remainder as individuals.
Thank you, Mayor. The meeting reconvened at 1:13. Item number 50 is a public hearing for and an ordinance granting an amendment to and expansion of specific use permit 941 for a public school on property zoned an MF-2A multifamily district at the northwest corner of Meredith Avenue and Albrook Street. Item number 52 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to and renewal of specific use permit number 1429 for a bank or saving and loan office with drive-in window service on property zoned an AC heavy commercial district on the south side of Maple Roof Connection between Colby Street and Woodall Rogers Freeway. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to address the City Council on the two items that were just read into the record? Any individuals that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the items? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Hossel, please.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and approve items 50 and 52.
Second.
Moving to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed to order? Madam Secretary, 51, please.
Item number 51 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for a public school other than an open enrollment charter school and R-5A single-family district uses on property zoned in R-5A single-family district, generally on the west side of Pierce Street, south of St. David Drive.
Mr. Mayor, within 151 notices, property owners from 500 feet of the area request received 3 replies in favor and 7 replies in opposition. It will require a simple majority to approve this.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Coop, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is in Mr. Newman's district, and he has asked me to say the following. I move to close the public hearing and approve item number 51 per the City Plan Commission's recommendation. And just as an aside, the school, what this means is the school will put in the sidewalks per the requirement of the code.
Second.
Move to second. All those favor signify by saying aye.
Yeah, I need to read in the number.
No.
Oh,
excuse me. If I can clarify for the record, Ms. Coop, you are making that motion?
Ms. Coop,
yes, I am.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
You want me to say it again?
No, the motion.
Move to say it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed to ordinance 53?
Item number 53 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a public library on property zoned in ARCA 7.5A single family district, generally on the southwest corner of Beck Avenue and Hibiscus Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 13 notices to property owners on 300 feet of their request, received 2 replies in favor, 1 reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
If I could have a motion on that, please.
So moved.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed to order 54? No, I'll take 2 seconds.
Item number 54 is a public hearing regarding an application for an ME-3 mixed-use district on property zoned in IR Industrial Research District on the east side of Maple Avenue between Inwood Road and Butler Street.
Mr. Mayor, the electronic thing.
It's all that technology.
There you go.
It's dangerous.
On this one, too, we sent 13 notices to property owners to return to their request, received 2 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition. Perhaps the majority will approve it.
Thank you.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? You will be allowed 2 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Good afternoon, Mayor, members of the City Council, Suzanne Kedron, 901 Main Street. At this time, we're asking if you could please hold the case till December 8th. There's an associated deed restriction document that has not been executed by the owners yet, and we'd like to have it all wrapped up together to present to you.
Thank you. Ms. McDonald, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move to keep the public hearing open and hold this case under advisement until December the 8th, 2010.
Seconds by Ms. Hunt, Mr. Caraway. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed to order? Madam Secretary, 55, please.
Item number 55 is a public hearing on the proposed changes to the city's community development block grant public improvement policy for nonprofit organizations. And at the close of the public hearing, number 1, rescind the current policy that discontinued the use of CDBG funds for public improvement activities at nonprofit organizations. And number 2, adopt a new policy for which CDBG funds will be used to fund public improvement activities at nonprofit organizations. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item that was just read into the record? Are there any speakers that would like to speak either in favor or in opposition of the item that was just read into the record? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Michelle, sir, please.
Thank you, Mayor. This is an item that some time back was changed, and prior to that change, not only nonprofits but also the City of Dallas participated in programs to allow for buildings such as rec centers, libraries, and also nonprofit agencies such as West Dallas Community Centers, Selena Quintanilla Drug Rehabilitation Program, to name just very, very few. What this, the intent of this change is to allow the CDBG committee or the Community Development Committee to look at opportunities where grant funds can be used for worthy organizations that have had a history of track record, a positive track record in our communities, such as, for example, YMCA, YWCA, Baylor Healthcare. If they want to do a clinic, CDBG funds can be used to open a clinic as a capital improvement to rehab a building. So there's many different uses. Also can be used for playgrounds. I know Mr. Allen has asked about why he has no recreation center in his district. Well, actually, these funds could be used for designing a recreation center. This would not be the first time. Many other rec centers in the city have been designed using CDBG money. So this is an opportunity to allow that to happen This is not opening the floodgates. We put a restriction on this of 5%, and it doesn't have to be the entire 5%, depending on what recommendations come out of the city committee to the council and looking at the budget. So with that, that's the purpose of this. It's not targeting any one individual, or it's just a policy change to allow the council and the city committee to explore and look at other opportunities to help many agencies or nonprofits, or even the city, to rebuild its programs through capital improvement using block grant funds. So I'll make a motion in favor of item number 55, with the understanding also that this will also come back to the committees for consideration as we move forward. It needs to be tweaked a little bit, develop better criteria on evaluating, like the grading different projects. We can do that. We can do a grading system. But first we have to change the policy, and then we decide on the grading system. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. It's been moved. Seconded. Mr. Margolin, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I think all of you received a copy of the memo from council members Newman, Kadane, and Allen, who are away on police and fire pension business today. Their memo says, we respectfully request that the City Council defer agenda item number 55 until the next voting agenda meeting scheduled for Wednesday, November 10th. Councilman Salazar, when this came up in August, you asked me to defer it, and so I'm wondering if I could offer an amendment asking you to defer it at their request.
This has been deferred twice.
Yes.
And could be a third deferral.
Yeah, it would, but because three council members are gone, there's a request that you defer it so that they can participate in the conversation.
Well, which Mr. Allen and Mr. Newman would have asked me. They didn't contact me. They didn't send me a letter. I didn't get a memo.
This did go to the mayor and members of the city council, the memo that I referenced.
There was a memo.
Was that to everybody?
I haven't seen the memo yet.
Okay.
If you want to make the motion, and they can vote, the council can vote whether they accept that as
your motion is on the floor, though, right now.
You can make a substitute motion if you'd like.
Substitute motion, okay. Then, as a substitute motion, I would like to move that we defer agenda item 55 until November 10th.
Moved and seconded. Any other discussion? Okay, then the motion we'll vote on now is for deferral. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Against?
Show hands like this.
Take a roll call.
We have the roll call. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 versus 3. That motion fails.
Then could I address the motion, or I want to address the agenda item. I want to express several concerns about this item. 5% sounds like a small number, but it's $1 million or more dollars a year. And based on about a $20 million CDBG allocation, there are two particular concerns that I have. The first is that any money that we give for what we're calling bricks and mortar for construction projects of nonprofits, the city retains a 5-year liability on that, so that if we made a contribution toward a construction project of $500,000, and that organization went out of business before 5 years, the city would be liable to HUD to return that $500,000. That is a really big concern of mine on this. The second is that any money that we give for capital projects such as this are no longer available for programs and services. It's a fixed pie, and if we take money for bricks and mortar, it's no longer available for services. And so given the liability that this could create for the city, if if organizations go out of business before 5 years. And let me say on that, as strong as a nonprofit is, we at the city have no control over whether a nonprofit is going to be around for 5 years, as strong as they may seem. And I have a real problem creating that liability for the city, which is what this change in policy will do. And so, and I think going to $1 million a year is way too much. When I served on the subcommittee that looked at this, it was a subcommittee of the housing committee, I was willing to go up to a couple of $100,000, and that was really what we were talking about when the committee met. And then at the end, the motion was made for 5%, or around $1 million, which was not in the spirit of what the subcommittee was recommending. So I can't support this. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Ms. Coop, please.
Yeah, I just want to ask the staff one question. If you can get somebody up here who's got a little bit of institutional knowledge from a long time ago. I want to know why the previous council, before Mr. Salazar, maybe it wasn't before you. Was it during your tenure? Well, let me ask the staff, maybe Mr. Salazar can address this too. Why did the council then decide not to have money for bricks and mortar? What was the rationale behind that?
My recollection would be that the city is also able to use the funds for our own facilities, and that there were quite a few needs within our own facilities, and so that the funds could be directed towards work at our facilities and qualifying areas.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Mr. Salazar, do you want to add to that? As far as your recollection?
It was just a change in philosophy. I would probably say that we didn't have discussions like we had right now. There were no meetings to discuss a change in the policy. It was mandated, you know, at the time from among the council that they wanted to change it, and they did.
Well, I'm not going to be voting for your motion. It's not really that I don't think that we can do a good job on it. It's just that in my time being with the park board and then onto the council, I've seen several of those projects that didn't go very well, and I think maybe the council before my time, your council, kind of had some problems, some issues with some projects perhaps that came up. And I think today, you know, the vote is going to go to change this policy. But what I would implore upon you is to set some parameters, and maybe you have in your meeting.
We're going
to set some parameters so that, the issues that came up before, and since, you know, you were there, you would know what those are, and perhaps can be the leader on that in the housing committee. Set some parameters on that so that we don't get ourselves into the same type of bricks and mortar issues that we had before. That's really the concern that I have. And we've seen it in a couple of projects since I've been around. So I would appreciate that if you could bring that up to the committee.
Ms. Salazar, do you want to address
the motion today? I think before there were no parameters. I think the motion today brings forth some parameters that I guess would limit who's able to apply for the funds, you know, initially. And that's something that didn't exist before. Looks into history, looks into financials. We're treating it just, for example, as any other CDBG-funded project. It's going to be open to auditor to review, and I think bringing it back to the committee to look at the parameters and to tweak it is acceptable, you know, at any time to change the the scope and rules of how the applications are processed.
And was there any way to get rid of the liability issue? I think that concerns that, me. Enter into an agreement
that exists with any CDBG funds that we get. It doesn't change. But what we're doing on this one is that it is subject to review before the application comes in. Correct. They have to meet certain criteria just to apply, and then I think the council is free also to put other, reviews on the project to make sure that how it goes. I mean, I can only think of maybe two or three where I don't think the project went through as supposed to, but I could think of, you know, dozens of others where it was a good use of funds, and they're still there. There's still many nonprofits are operating. So with that being said, you know, these have rules already attached to it. And if we want to implement other rules, then the council's free to do that as well.
But you did do a thorough analysis of the liability issue, that the city is liable to pay back the money to CDBG.
On any CDBG project, we are, you know, we have some liability just as we do, you know, administering other funds that are CDBG related.
Well, I think you know what my concerns are, and I do know this project, so, you know, you have a good framework for that, and I defer to your leadership on that. Just try to craft it so that we don't end up with those same issues that we've had for years and years. Or there will be another council, you know, past our time, you know, that comes back and has to address it.
Good point.
Good point. Jackson, please.
Thank you. I guess, Jerry, some words. I thought Lee McKinnon might be here. I think she was here when we had a special committee and some of the issues that Councilman Salazar brought up were concerned. Ms. Chipperfield, I did ask you early in the month to tell me what other cities that do use CDBG rules and what tools they have in the toolbox as a bricks and mortar. And could you tell me what do you find out about other cities with the bricks and mortar?
Sure. We surveyed, let's see, about 12 cities throughout Texas and the country, and we found most cities allow for nonprofits to receive funds to make improvements at their facilities. We did find Amarillo, Texas, and Chicago are not currently providing funds to nonprofits, but otherwise we did find that most cities do allow for that.
And Jerry, I guess back to Councilman Cook's question that she brought up, which is a good question, that why the prior council, you know, took that tool out of the toolbox. I guess since we have been using bricks and mortar, is it fair to say we might have maybe one or two projects did not pass the test? Is that a fair statement?
Well, we certainly had a couple of projects that have failed and that we're exposed for payback on those.
Right. So, and how long
projects.
How long have the bricks and mortar been in place prior to the city council?
You know, I'm not sure, but I understood it. It was for several years, and I guess, when was it, 2002, 4, 3, 4, somewhere where it was discontinued. But it had been in place for several years before that. I don't have the exact number of projects that were funded, but we did have two that...
Okay, and I guess if to follow up on that, colleagues, you know, the bricks and mortar, yes,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. The colleagues, my concern is with the bricks and mortar that there is a tool that the government provides us to use that in a toolbox. I think the committee that Councilwoman Davis and myself and I think Anne Margolin was on that committee. We discussed in great length how do we protect and make sure this tool would be in the toolbox. And I do understand your concern, Linda and Ann, is that Steve did say we are going to draft some kind of guideline to make sure how do we use the tool out of the toolbox. And it just would be in this environment, we need every tool that we need in the toolbox to help the city. You know, Councilman Allen's not here, but I know he's trying to do a rec summer there, and this one tool that might be able to help him to do his rec summer if that tool was in the toolbox. So there are so many things that when you talk about nonprofit, which you've got some great nonprofit organizations out there, like the YMCA, Boys and Girl Club, that who've been around for many, many years, that do got a good track record as a nonprofit. Especially in West Dallas, you got quite a few nonprofit organizations over there who had done a great job. And for us to sit here and say we do not want these two in the toolbox, I think it would be a liability on the city of Dallas. And Jerry, do you have some additional information that you want to read to me?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mayor.
Just a question. Jerry, are you supportive of this?
That's not fair.
We ask opinions all the time.
Under certain conditions, yes, and those conditions have to be worked out. These projects by themselves, because of the nature of the applicants that come to us, are somewhat, they're not financially strong organizations. So depending on the criteria that we have yet to work out at the committee level, I would be supportive of it given the right circumstances, yes.
When does the criteria get worked out, Steve?
After we pass this, we'll come.
Stan is here to give you what the requirement is that we've
Mr.
worked
Mr. Salazar,
out.
Go ahead, Mr. Salazar.
All right. Jerry, say this passes today, when you bring to the committee the criteria that's worked out right now and any other staff recommendations that would make you more... that you feel are necessary to make sure that the project is successful. Now, you mentioned about applicants. There are no applicants. When I look at this project, I look at, you know, small nonprofits, and I look at big nonprofits. Everyone's struggling to provide services in different communities. Parkland has expanded their health care, but they're nowhere near... You know, places, for example, in my Northwest District, I can envision a clinic going in there with the help of some funds from CDBG. Could be Baylor, could be Methodist, could be, you know, UT Southwestern, through Parkland, could be any of the others. This is not meant, the way it's written right now, it's not meant to be the whole project. It's not even meant to be 50% of a project. This is just a bricks and mortar. And, for example, a clinic, I can tell you, having been on a clinic board, you know, with $100,000, you take care of probably one quarter of your budget to put a functioning clinic that all it needs is rooms. You know, you're not going to do labs and stuff. That's why you have your primary place to do all your testing and such. But this is to supplement other organizations to serve the community. And, for example, even if it's West Dallas Community Center that has a building, and in my presentation I showed when the city owns it, we have the resources to build great ballparks. But with nonprofits, most of their money goes into services, so they don't have money for capital. Or they use their money for capital for air conditioning, heating. And so the ancillary money, which is for ballparks or playgrounds, and I'll tell you, we did $29,000 for West Dallas Community Centers for a playground. That's still there. They're still operation, but they're struggling. But they're still there, and, you know, these are things that, as they come forward, you know, each one will have a compelling story. But I agree with you, Jerry, that we have to have, you know, a structure and a standard, and, you know, so we don't, you know, commit any mistakes we've done in the past.
Is it reasonable in the next month or so to get that done?
I would think so.
Between your committee and...
Well, I think we need to have something down before January, because I think that's when the city committee starts considering
into the year.
Recommendations. Yeah,
into the year.
Yeah.
The criteria that we have right now is what I'm gonna, that we've laid out are the basic parameters, which I would say is about at 25,000 feet for our underwriting. We just need to bring
it
back down.
Okay. Mr. Tiske?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, at this point, I'm not going to be able to support the motion for basically three reasons. One, I think it's well-intentioned, and I think that I'd feel a lot more comfortable if we had those parameters that are going to be worked out later in place at this time. Two, the city's liability concerns me. Those of us on the council and the previous councils have struggled with some projects that have moved forward under the bricks and mortar CDBG policy and found the city in a very untenable situation as a result of that. I don't know that the safeguards that are going to be put in place are going to relieve the city of that liability. And the third is, it would seem that if we have a long list of needs in the city that we can spend CDBG money on that become city facilities,
why would we jump outside of that box and say, let's go put an outside facility that is not a city facility ahead of facilities that we have on our needs list for, as public city facilities? I think if there was nothing on the list, that would probably change my mind on that one. But it seems to me we have a long list of needs that we can apply the CDBG money to that can benefit the city. So I just don't see the logic of going outside. I guess the biggest concern is that we're passing a policy, and then, I mean, we're passing a change in policy, and we're not addressing the individual rules and regulations that that policy is going to include at the same time. I'd be more comfortable if I knew what they were. They might ease some of my concern, but right now I won't be able to support it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Please.
Call the question.
One question I've got. Steve, is there a reason that you can't get the conditions or those parameters that you referred to before we vote on this and include them in it?
Well, Mayor, I look at this kind of like a zoning case, for example. We have to first enable that this is where we want to go, and second, we bring it back to the council, to the committee, and then we can even do it through quality of life, two different committees, and if you want to do it through economic development, three different committees to get all the council input to get it done. I think just because we're going to be doing a lot of traveling as far between now and December, we've got the NLC, tomorrow everybody leaves for TML, and then we've got another break. It just seems to me that if we do it now, we can have staff work on it.
Mayor, I've called a question. It should not be a conversation.
Yeah, he's going to finish in just a second, then we'll get to it.
So, I don't think it's appropriate to go ahead and do the pass this today and just bring back the recommendations in December. And if we don't vote on December, we can vote on in January. My concern is that we might not even get the vote on it by December.
But we'd anticipate
but
that.
But we'll have them back.
Okay.
We'll have them back.
It's been moved to second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We'll show three objections.
Yep.
Motion passes. And Secretary of Speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We begin your afternoon speakers. We'll first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety.
Can we vote on the
yes. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant at Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. When your time is up, please stop speaking and allow the next individual their turn. Thank you. Your next first speaker is R.W. Traylor, not present. Edward Rincon, please step forward, sir, if you will state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Can I distribute this? My name is Edward Lincoln. I live at 2537 Guyberger Drive in Plano, Texas, but my business is located in Dallas and it has been for the past 30 years. Thank you very much for Mayor Leppert and Mayor Pro Tem Carraway, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, and the manager and all the members of the City Council. I want to address a very important issue that greatly impacts vendors like our company that take part in the competitive process for contracts here in the City of Dallas. What I'm sharing with you basically is a copy of the bid protest that I submitted back on September the 3rd in reference to a city services citizen survey that we competed in. Rincon and Associates is no stranger to competition in the public arena, having conducted numerous research studies in the past for agencies like the State of Texas, DART, DFW Airport. We've also conducted more than one contract and research study for the City of Dallas. I have also taught research and statistics classes in area universities. In my 30 years of research experience, however, I have never witnessed so much effort by one public agency to to depart from fair procurement practices in order to ensure that a particular vendor was chosen for an award. Let me explain. During the pre-proposal conference for this particular city services study, the city staff created an unfriendly atmosphere that discouraged attendees like myself from asking questions. This is problematic because the study specifications related to sampling and statistical concepts were vague and confusing, and the staff knowledge of these concepts was also vague and confusing. The city staff also, which is unusual, shared their satisfaction with the past vendor and their work, which created a certain amount of discomfort among the vendors present about future opportunities. We were denied a request for more detailed information on the study methodology, which made it more difficult for us to prepare a competitive proposal. Regarding the selection process, Rincon and Associates did, our company did submit the lowest bid on this particular proposal, although there was some contradictory language regarding whether this was a bid or a request for proposal. Indeed, documents were both included to that effect, so we determined that we should have had the been selected for this. Interestingly, the ratings of our proposal were inconsistent, suggesting that evaluators were not viewing the same information or perhaps were not qualified to judge the research for statistical concepts. I contacted personally our references that were included in our proposal. None of them, or most of them, had not been contacted by city staff or the evaluators. The question that I have to ask is, how can vendors be fairly evaluated if the references are not checked? Are the evaluators also qualified to make these judgments? So I see that my time is open. I just it's closed, but I just...
And stay there just 1 second. Let me ask Ms. Hosso. Let me go to Ms. Hosso.
Yeah.
Ms. Hosso?
Well, I number one, I definitely want to give him more time. And okay. Then number two, I have a question when he's finished.
All right, so you're going to put that in the form of a motion?
My motion is to give him more time and then return to speak.
Proceed.
Thank you,
sir.
Thank you, Counselor. Basically, in response to these issues and problems that surfaced, we submitted a bid protest on September the 3rd of this year. We did not get a response from the city staff, a formal response, until October the 20th. The letter explained that the competition was canceled due to quote-unquote contradictory language, but did not explain what the language was or how it affected our proposal evaluation. Since that time, we have tried to schedule a meeting with city staff to discuss a possible solution. Just yesterday, we met with Ade Williams, Director of Purchasing, and Mike Roche, Purchasing Agent and Assistant Director of Purchasing. The outcome of this meeting is uncertain at this time. In the meantime, a second request for proposals was issued on the 14th of October, which requires a response by October 22nd, which is tomorrow at 2 p.m. Interestingly, this proposal includes new language that limits the ability of Rincon and Associates to compete and includes contradictory language as well. In summary, I believe that the entire competition should be canceled until investigation is initiated to determine the reasons that there were so many departures from fair and equitable procurement standards.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Hosso?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Rincon, I've known you for many years.
Yes.
And I welcome you today, and thank you for coming down.
I
apologize for not being available to you personally, but my door is open anytime you want to come and talk about this particular matter. And Lupita, again, welcome you to City Council. I would like to ask procurement to come up, whether that's a day or Mike. Do we have somebody here from procurement?
They went back. I
went back there to ask.
I guess in the interim, if Gene, is there, I think the follow-up would be with Gene Chipperfield that we can get some additional information. I understand there was a meeting, and I'm not sure what the outcome is other than that they're looking to rebid. But Gene, if you would add to that.
Gene, what is the appropriate next step?
So we are going to issue the request for proposals and redo our process on this.
So does that put Mr. Rincon at a disadvantage?
No, not at all.
And Mr. Rincon, are you in confirmation that this should be put out for bid again?
I don't agree, because the same mistakes that were made in the first competition are being made again in the second competition.
So making the same mistakes on the second
exactly.
proposal.
First comes admission of the errors, and secondly, correction of the errors. They have not admitted to any errors, and they're not going to correct anything that we've pointed out in the bid protest.
Gene, do you want to answer that?
I am not 100% up to speed on the issues. I know you met with our purchasing staff. I'd be happy to meet with you as well, and we can try to resolve it as best we can.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to kind of jump in and say, I think what I've heard, and AC, you're saying to Gene, this is going to go back out.
Yes, sir.
I would think that we need to visit, or you all need to visit with Ms. Hospital.
Absolutely.
So that she can understand even the process. Not that she doesn't, but she can agree with a better understanding of the process. And then making sure that your concern that you brought before the council today has been addressed prior to these actions. And I think that that will all take place should you all have a meeting that will be set up through AC, City Manager, and Ms. Hasso, and all the parties connected.
Thank you very much. That's exactly what I was going to say.
I just want to add that the second competition is in progress, and the proposals are due tomorrow.
No, they're going to work with Ms. Chipperfield and let them explain to you exactly how we're going to proceed.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Inkland. And Ms. Chipperfield, if we have to defer or delay the end date on this second proposal, then we must do so quickly. And then I look forward to meeting with you and Rincon's and procurement. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Madam Secretary.
The next speaker is Tamara Washington. Not present. Joseph Parisi. Not present. Ozumba Lunch. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I beg your pardon.
I apologize, Mr. Lund.
Mr. Parisi's first.
The other gentleman didn't.
I skipped him by accident. I appreciate
it. Just have a seat. You come up next.
Mr. Lund. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sir, if you'll please state your name and address for the record.
I'll pull that microphone down for you. And up for one and down for the other. There you go.
I had to wait 65 years to be in the front of the most powerful nation in the world. And $3 especially is so great to my heart that my daughter went to school. And I have a young man, I just met him, and he was volunteered to come and help me. Introduce yourself, please.
Michael Hammond. How are you?
How you doing, Mike?
The freedom of America is with our star. I was a little boy when the American, 1943-44, and I saw the Fifth Army. Some of you, I was there in 66, but the very star is so significant that the GI, they call me GI Joe sometimes, you know. I shined the shoes when I was a little boy, and I come from a family of 9 children, and I come from a city by the name of Nola. It's a city where Caesar Augustus, near Pompeii, died, the first Roman emperor. And I competed the two to the Texas. This is the fifth nation. You people, when you go home and take in the burdens of all the citizens and of your family and come back, hey, it is great to see Angela Crumpler. And it's a sound of name not so good because Hunter would be an Italian cacciatore. They say they anglicized the name like Fitzgerald become, you know, Bianco became white. Goodrich became Rico Bono. And, you know, Fitzgerald was Geraldini. So I'm so glad that we're together. Unite we stand, and that when I thank you, it will take a long time, your valuable time,
it allowed me. I had a heart surgery at the hospital. Wonderful hospital, Baylor. Methodist. Wonderful Methodist hospital. The city of Parkland, wonderful. The heart surgeon that I was operated was telling me that he was taught by an Italian by the name of Lazorda, which is Tommy Lazorda's great dodge, taught him in Pittsburgh how to work on my heart. this city can never be loose. I was yesterday at Addison Day with the mayor, is a Chinese. I was down in the South Street where the guy stole my T-shirt, and it's so beautiful that you have such a compassion. I live right across from the Dallas Independent School, and the man who did my home was a Palestinian and got rid of all the cucaracha. So this is the Senate, this is the Congress. So I come from Rome, I see this building over here built on cement, the 1930, the same man who led us into a war, led us into a defeat. And the man who liberated me, Fifth Army, 133 Infantry F, he was a Ranger. 2,000 Americans died in Salerno. And General Ray Odierno, him and his son, now Chief of Staff, Pace. It is so wonderful that I just got a letter from one young man that was giving from President Obama the Medal of Honor, and he's 25 years old. So my heart is crying for sons and daughters that are over here. It's the one in the streets. It's the one that's homeless. It's the one that is behind bars. And I signed myself that Dallas is a holy ground. And so therefore, I want to thank you for allowing me to bring in. It will take me a long time. This is the Republic of Italy, 150th anniversary. The nation of Italy was dispersed. Just like you have a mix of all countries in Dallas. You got a little India, you got a little Pakistan, you got a little Africa, you got all the nations put together. We're not little ones. We're great because we are united, we stand. And so I want to thank you, first of all, for this commemoration. I was going to bring the Italian flag. But what's his name? The guy says he couldn't reach cops over your lobby. I want to bring the Italian flag here because the Italian flag is white, green, and red. So the flag next to it is orange. So, but I want to give you the San Marino flag if you allow me to. Would you please? This is the Republic of San Marino, where the greatest leader, Garibaldi, gave his life, and his brother was shot at the wall of Rome when he said Rome belonged to God and to his people. So this is San Marino. Forgive me. Thank you. You're so wonderful that you are my grandson. So you make yourself a bit. No, display it one more time, please. Because this is the small republic of San Marino, where Abraham Lincoln, they just signed a document. He was giving this honorary citizenship of 1861. Now, this one over here, forgive me, is the, temple, thank you. Consul, forgive me, that I had to wait 65 years to do this. This is the Piemonte, who actually became the leader where the Nobel Prize was the Torino. All day where they met Maserati, Ferrari, the Alps. I want to give that to you. Okay. And that was the beginning of the Italian police. Now, the third one, I leave it to you. It's a mountain where they make the best mozzarella cheese, Sardinia, on the bottom of a Corsica. And the man who liberated this was never given the right to become a citizen. He was like a political sign. And I want to give that to you, if you allow me to. Okay. I want to thank you most of all, you honorable people, to make an immigrant speak. The only observation, please, Mr. Secretary. In Rome, is the hard way run. The you people sit on top. The officials sit on top. Over here, you sit on the bottom. It's very dangerous because they don't like you. They throw mozzarella.
So I suggest the Senate, you know, that's who you are. Yeah, you people should be this.
Okay.
But you're so humble and you're serving.
Well, thank you so much. And we certainly appreciate it. And thank you, Mike, for assisting. And we welcome you. And the message that you sent today was taken in great harmony and great appreciation and love. So thank you so very much, all right? Thank you. Madam Secretary.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Ozumba Lunt, and he will be followed by Trina Trish.
This is where I come from, my family.
Oh, wonderful.
They're the one who raised me to be a young man as a priest.
Absolutely.
But then I want you, this is my mother.
Okay.
I was 7 years old when we were bombed. And I'm my sister's principal school.
Okay.
We got one secretary, one is a doctor. So
wonderful.
I thank you so much.
We thank you. What is Caraway in Italian? What is my name in Italian?
Caraway.
What say Caraway in
Caraway.
What'd you say?
I didn't say that.
No, what is my name?
His name. Caraway.
He's the most Caraway baby.
There you go. I can't wait to all the people. All the people. Thank you. You hear that, Natinsky?
Thank you.
Madam Secretary.
Thank you, Mr. Lund.
Thank you, sir. No.
You're next, Mr. Lund.
Mr. Lund?
Chief and Minister Ozumba Wadalu Lunk, Chief of the Texas African Afro-American Igbo Tribe, discovered 1987. Look here, I come down here hoping I can get some liberty and some justice, you know. It seems that justice come out of double-barreled shotgun, one for the poor, one for the rich. This is the United States of America, but I see and understand everything I know. The laws are not united across this country. They change state to state from law to law, depending on how much money you get for whatever fish you do or whatever kind of law you can afford. I would like for you all to, which like I've been talking to you all the time, I was a victim to become a suspect in an assault. I would like for you all to revisit my situation and see what we could do about this. That's what I've been asking for, because the city and the county had robbed me. Matter of fact, it was done by ex-peace officers and peace officers. This was so terrible about it. People in the system were the one that did it to me, because I ran for council in 2000 when they didn't want me to run, and they gave me hell. And it was the system that did it. And y'all did a pretty good job of covering it up, so the city and county robbed me, and I can prove it to you. And they punished me, tortured me, and everything else. They did me real terrible, and I'm suffering from that even today. Record and otherwise, I tried to move from apartment, senior citizen apartment. You know, I'm getting old, I'd be 65 next birthday. They wouldn't take me because I had a criminal record, they said. This is what y'all did to me, man. I mean, it's wrong, man. I did nothing. I have no charge against me today. I went to court for 13 months. And I will not charge anything. I'm appealing to you, this city, this county, for justice. It is overdue. I understand that y'all have two lawyers sitting here at the council. I'm not trying to exacerbate anything. I just want to be treated fairly, because I feel bad being a veteran and doing what I've done, don't have a criminal record. And, you know, it just didn't work out. But what I'm saying, you all have two lawyers I know on this here council. I'm willing to work with either one of them, and I'm pretty sure if you trust them, we can come to some kind of agreement, and you all can do something with me. Because, you know, you took money from me. My son's been in prison for over 10 years for some stuff. It's a conspiracy-like thing, too, but, you know, okay, that's gone. But anyway, you know, and I had nothing to do with none of that. But, you know, I'm just a man trying to protect myself. And you all tried to put me in the pen for 6 months under deadly conduct. Against the gang. I'm a bad dude. I can fight a whole gang by myself, man. I knew I used to run with some special forces, but I didn't know I was that bad. But anyway, I need some help. and I hope you all will take this seriously, because I've been done wrong by this city, this county. I know it. I'm a 65-year-old man. I know something about the law. I know something about, I'm a criminal justice major. I was a teacher, certified to be a peace officer, and I'm proud to investigate. I know you all did me wrong, and we need to come on, man. Come on, let's fight. I'm not trying to exacerbate anything, and let's work together to get these issues resolved.
Right.
I've been hanging
thank
out here too
much,
long,
Chief.
And we need to do something, man.
We appreciate
I mean, when a man begging for some justice,
you.
Man, y'all
thank
gotta.
You, Chief.
Thank you, Mr.
Lund.
Thank you,
Chief.
Thank
thank
you.
Take
care. Your next speaker is Trina Trish.
Thank you. I do appreciate the time. I did appreciate those who were able to speak longer than 3 minutes and those who have limited time. To the mayor is always in his absence, Mayor Pro Tem Caraway and Medrano, and to all those who have stayed to hear what I say, salve, como stai, which is hello, how are you in Italian. How about that? Nevertheless, I'm speaking about housing today. And I just left one of my banks. I have four. Three of the four I read in an African American newspaper have stopped foreclosures and how they give out the loans. Why is that? Because one bank official said that they were writing 7,000 to 8,000 foreclosure loans and they weren't even looking at the paperwork. I'll tell you, if I walked in, they would probably check my paperwork. Nevertheless, wasting money, and who's going to pay? Who's going to pay for that? Also, I'd like to say housing. And he mentioned in that same bank that I walked in, I was looking for Charles Schwab. I gave them an idea. I said, I tell you what, why don't you go to that same bridge where Parkland is taking advantage of poor people, giving them pills that they don't need, and you go tell them, take that $3,000 check, medical facilities associated with shelters are telling people, if you say you're crazy and take this medicine, I can get you these checks. And tell them that just give us half of that check to put in a CD, to put in a stock. You won't be watching TV. You'll be asking for CNBC. I need to see what my stocks are doing. It's not hard to make money. It's not hard to make millions. It's real easy. Those same people sitting in the pavilion right now aren't some other shelter maybe watching a movie and getting popcorn at the taxpayers' expense while hardworking people are losing their jobs, while hardworking people are losing health care insurance because shelters are affiliated with medical facilities that are feeding poor people pills and doing things that is unnecessary instead of telling them how to be healthy so we can have a healthy economy instead of a sick economy. Nevertheless, I said, you go right down there and you get half of those checks and you tell them if they put half in there and just waste half, how about that? You can let your money work for you. You can be a millionaire. Nevertheless, they're seeing caseworkers that we're paying for standing in long lines. What are they making money to do? Are they sending these same people to the banks to see financial planners? Are they sending these same people to institutions and different agencies where they can help them to empower themselves? Money is never the problem. Housing is. They stopped me. I don't have enough time.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you.
That's okay.
All right. Madam Secretary.
That concludes your speakers, Mr. Mayor.
It is exactly 2:09. This meeting is adjourned.